Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Bringing together six talented artists and their musical backgrounds, with members hailing from France, Guadeloupe, the Netherlands, and Australia, the Witchy Gypsies have been casting musical spells since vocalist and instrumentalist Joanna Lavolle first crossed paths with guitarist Sam Ukola in 2018, leading to jamming, busking, and ultimately a makeshift band of travelers settling in Western Australia and turning their gaze into writing songs together. Now consisting of Joanna and Sam, as well as backing vocalist and bassist Dennis Koege, backing vocalist and saxophonist Christopher Best, drummer James Marilich, and guitarist Leo Olivier, the Witchy Gypsies fuse Latin beats, cheeky gypsy jazz, and brass-infused ska rhythms with refreshing ease. Also armed with a potent live presence that has seen them charm at Nanup Music Festival and Blossom Festival, as well as their own headline shows. In 2025, they released the singles In My Mind and Looking Good. Up next on the Celeb Savant, we've got Joanna Lavolle from the Witchy Gypsies.
Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
Hey, Barrett. Thanks for having me. So I'm currently in Perth and I'm doing really well. I'm having a little bit of a time off between two work sort of tours. So life is good. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm all lovely and all grand. Thank you so much for asking. The name, the Witchy Gypsies, how was that chosen and how was the spelling chosen?
We started this project down in Witchcliff. Witchcliff is kind of 20 minutes south of Margaret River in WA. And so the witchy is from here. And when we all met, we used to be van dwellers, you know, living the fruit picking 2 years of Australian bliss kind of life. So we were kind of living like gypsies, you know. The D-J-Y-P-S-I-E-S, the way we wrote gypsies, we tend to want to say that it's a nod to Django Reinhardt, which is a part, could be a part of the story, because we've been hugely inspired by these amazing guitar skills. But it is actually as simple as Facebook. When we created a little page for ourselves, Facebook said gypsies, the way it's written, is offensive and you cannot use that word. We just twisted the thing and created a bit of a tongue twisting name. But it's good because people get to call us a whole bunch of random things, like the tipsy whipsies or the jippy witties. It's been really cute. So yeah, we are stuck with that name and we love it.
Okay, now let's dive into your journey. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be in this world of creativity? How did that progress? How did you meet the other members of the band and then the band come to fruition?
Good question. So when I was in primary school, so I'm from the Caribbean, and then I moved when I was about 4 years old in France, and I was lucky to integrate a conservatorium of music for my primary school years. So I've been bathing in music, but it was very like a rigorous teaching of, you know, music theory. I did clarinet from a young age. We did singing and theater, like it was all a part of our curriculum, which was so cool. And then when I was 10 years old, my parents were too cold. We went back to the Caribbean. I continued on my journey with clarinet. But, you know, when you hit this age of 14, nothing is cool but guitar and skating. So clarinet was definitely not a cool instrument to be playing at this age. So I kind of packed it away in a box for 10 years, picked up guitar, did a lot of theater when I was young as well, because I always loved it. And I had a very cool teacher back in the Caribbean. Came to France, didn't really touch music. I'm actually a trained art therapist. So I've always been bathing in this sort of artistic world. And I've worked in a lot of festivals. I was always in awe of the bands and the energy they could deliver and the stories they were telling on stage. I just really loved it. But I was more of a theater head, actually. And a few years later, I took a one-way ticket to go to Sydney on a whim and started picking fruits and ended up in Pemberton to a bush doof where I met Sam, who is one of our guitarists and still is. And he's this French guy, was really cool. We became really friends straight off the bat. And a few days later, I hear them playing guitar and I was playing my little song in my little corner in this beautiful community where we used to live in Wychcliffe. And I was just singing, you know, I was like, oh, I don't want to be heard, but I've got this little song that I really like. And they heard it and they were like, hey, you can sing. And I was like, no, I can't sing for shit. Don't do it. But look, we had so much time on our hands because we were working in the wine. So you wake up early, you pick grapes for a few hours and then it's too hot. The grape has to go through another cycle of night. So we had all these beautiful days at the beach hanging out. So we started just working on some French covers, because you Australians are absolutely obsessed with French everything, you know. And we thought, why not go busking? Because who cares? Like, life is good. So it was Sam, myself, and Roman, who used to be in the band, who is a brilliant sax player, who had a crazy set of pipes on him, 20 years trying, very, very amazing dude. So the trio of us started hitting, you know, your classic Coles and Woolworths and all the bits of streets in Margaret River. We've busked literally everywhere barefoot. And it was just for fun. And the boys went out to do a session while I was working. We were just three at the beginning. And this guy looks at them and say, hey, I'm getting married in 2 days. Would you like to play at my wedding? And the guys were like, yeah, why not? Just gave him a price. But we didn't expect it that it was going to be a very fancy winery wedding, you know? So we rock up there with our dirty little op shop clothes and our broken little car and a few covers and some ideas. And we did this gig and it was amazing. We had so much fun and they just adored the French language. We were singing in Spanish and Italian as well. So bringing all the, you know, the cultural guitar and beautiful riffs. And Roman was so good at the saxophone. He would play anything. Yeah, we looked at each other after this gig and we're like, hang on, this is the thing. So before that, I kind of didn't really think, oh, I'm going to be a musician. I was probably thinking about it when, you know, before you go to bed, you're like, oh, I wish my life was like this or like that. And you have these little thoughts. But I didn't think these little dreams that I had when I was younger were come to fruition. And so, yeah, we started kind of just working on some tracks and writing about our way of life, which was very free and very liberating. Coming from Europe in a country like Australia, it's like, wow, the land of possibilities, and you can busk in the street and everything's fun. And we met another member, Dennis, who is our bass guy. So then we had this band, you know, because we had bass, we had guitars, found a drummer, and we all moved to Perth and started just busking everywhere, sneaking in festivals, doing as much as we can. We got some friends coming from France as well. So we had a bit of a big band sort of situation. And yeah, from there, from then, it just became history. We did a lot of pretty weird gigs and, you know, plugged the sound system to my van and its solar panel and play at the beach, or we just wanted to offer this music. But as the time went on, we were able to get in some very cool folk festivals. And yeah, it's been going really well since then. I'm really happy. We're really trusting in this project and it's a family. So it's keeping our heart really full and happy.
So you referenced earlier that you had these dreams of being a musician before you went to sleep, you know, these ideas and this little seed in your head. From having that to actually doing it, are there any aspects of it that you actually surprised as part of it that you didn't think would be part of it at the time?
My capacity to do it? Like, you never know how. It's an interesting setup, you know, to be, because I'm the lead singer, so I'm talking to people as well. And starting a band in a country where you don't speak the native tongue, as good English as I speak, I'm still very French.
Yeah.
And then you get slapped on the microphone and you've got six boys at the back being like, all right, you got to chat between songs. So you don't know all these things. And the first big stages, there's the stress, you know, there's like 10,000 people in front of you. And you're just like, how on earth these people are here going to listen to me telling my weird little things? You know, the songs are practiced and we do it well. But yeah, I didn't know I could do it. So it was a pleasant surprise. And it still is, like every concert, I'm just left with so much gratitude because it's so much fun and we get to play exactly what we want. You know, this is the music we create. This is the stories we want to tell. This is our wacky arrangement. Nobody has forced us to do anything, and still getting people to follow you through whatever you've created in a granny flat 2 years ago. For me, it amazed me every time, you know, like feel pretty blessed, to be honest.
What else do you enjoy about performing live?
It's a very special experience that you get to have with people who are here to watch you and with the people you do it with. I highly rank it in my pleasure levels, you know, to play on stage, and we play pretty fast. And, you know, the music is, we do play emotional songs, and I get really happy about it. But this sort of tribal family thing, and then we look around and I see all my friends that we've been, you know, barefoot in the bush playing our some ridiculous gigs and traveling up to Broome in the car jam-packed and wanting to murder each other. Like it's so much going on, and so much has happened since 2018, since we created this band. It's like ecstatic, and having the people in front of you, the audience, who's like feeding you because they're dancing, they're sweating, they're yelling at you, and they started to sing the songs now, some of the songs that have been released for a few years now. The people starting to sing it back at us. And this feeling is completely like, I don't know. There is no better feelings. There are feelings that equal that, you know, like relationship and love and what you feel when you're with someone that you really belong with. But this is group experience that I've never thought I would have, to be honest. So yeah, it's amazing. Everybody should do it.
Now, you referenced that you were traveling in a cramped van and you performed at weird and odd gigs. And yes, you referenced that you were grateful and ecstatic about each one of those. But when there were like these situations when it was like, just like out your van and you were arguing with each other, was the motivation to keep going that you were just so passionate about the music?
The music. That's the music. It's the music. There's the effect of this music. Like what we do, we call it gypsy ska punk, you know, because it's a weird blend of things. And we've been playing, you know, in Caratha, close to mine sites, in bars where they're like, play AC/DC covers. And we're like, hell no, we're going to play our weird little bossa nova jazz witchy thing and you'll suck it up, you know. And the fact that even in these random gigs and random spots, we get to create interest in opening people's mind around sounds that are from other countries and that we have also a bit created for ourselves. But it is always worth it to do it, to give people this chance to connect with something they've never been confronted with. So that's what keeps us going. And we have an immense love for each other in this band. Like it's literally a family, you know. So this brotherhood and me is so strong that in our hardest moments, we'll always find a way to make it work. And we used to say it on our old EPK, we're like, if nobody dances, we'll play for free. I will tell you that people were like, sweet, you know, so they'll book us, but we'll always get someone dancing. So we always got paid, which is great.
As a collective, how do you create songs, create music?
So it's definitely changed over the last few years because, you know, we're getting older and we're not van-dwelling gypsies anymore. We work a lot and pay taxes and have expensive houses around Perth, you know. Our setup and structure has evolved. We used to live literally all together in one house that used to be the band. So it was all the time creating. We would do some little jobs here and there. So back in the days, it was writing about our unique, may I say, way of life. A lot of people live like that, but we felt unique and special. So we're like, let's tell everyone how it's going in this madhouse. But it was crazy. You know, we were 20 in a house that's meant for five people and vans everywhere. It was an intense time. So as we grew up, everyone got a bit shacked up with people. Kids were born and stuff. So we all separated. So now we definitely take more time to mature each songs that we get out, because the timeline just stretched out because of the time we have available. But we try to be together and go somewhere and write songs at least a few times a year. Like, we book a band holiday literally and just lock ourselves up in a nice spot and jam. This is the best way for us. One person will have an idea, and then collaboratively we will make it come through. We don't work as, here is the song and all of you can execute it. We literally create our music all together. Everyone has something to bring to the table. So it takes a little bit of a longer time, but then we really appreciate this process, because I'm very, very, very lucky to be surrounded by talented musicians in the Perth scene. So I could come to them and be like, yeah, I've got these 5 sentences, literally how the last song was born. I've got these 5 sentences and I couldn't sleep. It was 2 a.m. And here is how it goes. Nah, 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 nah. And then they'll just like birth me some chords and a whole thing and then more lyrics. And so, yeah, time together for us is the best way we create.
What's coming up next over the next few months, next period of time?
So we got some gigs in November. So we'll play at the Frio Folk Festival on November 15th. Then we'll go to Southampton for the Wild Within Festival, which is a women's only festival. And I get to be the one who brings a band full of men at the end of their festival. So it's always an amazing gig. The boys get screamed at for an hour and they love it. And then we're actually flying to Hopetown, we're flying to Esperance, but we're playing in Hopetown and in Esperance over the weekend of the 21st and the 22nd of November. So I've booked flights for the band for the first time 3 days ago, which gave me a lot of joy. It never happened before. We've never been in a plane to play. So it's a 1-hour flight, but it's still a win. And then on the 20th of November, we'll do an RTR show at the State Theatre Centre there, hosting a courtyard club, as they call it. Yeah, we've got an exciting November month coming up, and then we're just booking, you know, summer season. We're starting to book for December, and we really want to go to the East Coast, so this is our main point of focus. Try to get some people who can trust us that we can light up the dance floor on fire over there, and yeah, the future is bright.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month, because for me, it's a thank you, energy exchange thank you to you guys for all the hard work that you do. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, the listening to from song one to whatever number. I'm unsure if you are aware or not, a massive uptick of physical around the world. Last year, a couple of years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. Also, last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. And based on daily exchanges, which needs to be high, they monitor it for some other tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are now back in the basket. And the research is showing it's a teenager, it's the younger kids that are diving into this world, not necessarily the older nostalgic people, in inverted commas. Then we have streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
Well, I was raised on CDs, you know, and later on vinyls. So love me a CD. I have a CD player in my car, so I always buy CDs and travel around with CDs like an old girl. But I know they're harder to sell. Like, as a also organizing the merch of the band, we've been dragging some CDs for years. There is some festival where it works a lot, and people tend to tell us, like, we don't even spin it. We just have it as a collection, you know. It's people collect these things, and this is the forever music for me, you know. If you can hold on to your CD player forever in your attic. Vinyls, I love vinyls. I used to have a turntable back in France and collected vinyls of my favorite bands, and I didn't bring it over, but it's definitely got to be back in my soon-to-be-picked hobbies, because the sound, you know, our first album, we asked the recording engineer to add a needle sound, you know, like we wanted to hear the scratch. We wanted it to feel like it's listened from a vinyl, because we were too broke to press it on vinyl, you know. as you say, it's coming back. We've had a lot of requests for vinyls. So I think we're going to birth a few more songs and then we'll definitely press Witchy Gypsy vinyls. And then I'll definitely have to buy a turntable again and start a collection. But well, it's us. It's the you know, prior 90s babies. We are attached to the, I can touch it, the physical and the whole. It's a ritual. You get the vinyl out. You just put it on the play. You just put the needle and it's, it's, cannot explain. It gives me a lot of joy. But also, we got to ride with our time. So bless streaming platforms. I always amazed at the music I discover every week because of these algorithms and this stuff. It is connecting artists. It is connecting artists to the listeners. We're not making enough money of it. That is for sure. And that should be changed. But still, the visibility and the way people can expand their musical universe, we got to say thanks to that. You know, people don't have probably the time anymore to go hang out at the vinyl shop and just spin a few things, random stuff. So now, you know, Spotify, Tidal, they do the algorithm and then you get to listen some random jazz from the 80s. Like, I love that about the world that we have today in the internet. Although the money that gets out of it and back into the artist pocket should be revised because we've all worked on this and this is real music. And it's this whole like AI bands coming up. This is crazy. Like this is, for me, this is sci-fi. This is the Matrix, you know?
Yeah.
But we'll go, keep going strong, you know? People got to keep buying local, support local shows, spinning local musics, supporting local radios that are doing their best as well to represent all of us. So we can do this. We can survive this. I think we got it.
I definitely think there needs to be an education piece around this. For example, a couple of months ago, I was speaking to a group of 10 people and a group of 8 people in different situations.
Yeah.
And I said to them, you know, if an artist has had 100 million streams of a song, how much money do you think they've made? The first group of people said $50 million. The second group of people said $1 million. And I was actually like, no, actually, it's more like $1,000 to $2,000. And they were shocked and horrified. They didn't actually realize it. So for the general sort of average, in inverted commas, person who's a fan of music, streams music, maybe goes to a concert once a year, there definitely needs to be their education piece. I know Ray, Snoop Dogg, a couple of them are now speaking out more about it. They think you guys are making millions and coining it so much. What are your thoughts around this aspect that I've just mentioned?
Oh, we're definitely not making millions. Like, you make more money with the royalties being redistributed after you've been spun on the radio, you know? Like, streaming services, it's nickels, it's nothing. Like, the best way to support the band nowadays, if they're not millionaires, buy their merch, because this money goes straight back in their account. Like, this is the sad reality of it, but if you buy a tune on Bandcamp, you spend $2 for a tune, you know what I mean? This money gets out from us distributing it through, like, you know, DistroKid or TuneCore, and to have all of these platforms operating. You don't make much money, but the real money you make is live shows and merch. Buy a shirt, buy a bag, buy a pin, who cares? Buy a sticker, slap it on your car, because for us, we run it all in-house. It's literally stored, like, downstairs in the garage. And my brother does the drawing. It's a whole family affair. But merch has kept us going. Now we get to charge a little bit more for what we do because it's cool, you know. But back in the days when I was a young girl, like I speak like I'm an old lady, you know. Sometimes the money you take when nobody knows you, it's like $500 for a gig. When you're 6 people and you're driving 4 hours and you got to feed these people, make the calculation. Nothing goes in your pocket, but the merch, baby, the merch keeps your life. So I always push a new artist emerging. I'm like, make some shirts. People will be walking around with your vibes on it and start talking with people. Like I have a whole drawer of bullshit shirts from every bird that I love in Perth, because this is the best $50 you can spend for an emerging band, literally. So yeah, that's my vision. Streaming services, bless. If you do a hit and you end up on TikTok or whatever, it's wonderful. Bless you. But with the current culture and the current inspirations for mainstream culture, we are never, our band, ever going to do that because we are too fucking weird, you know? So the merch, praise the merch. council gigs, you know, like City of Perth, organize this, or City of Geraldton. They always pay really well because they have good money, actually. Okay. So it is a good place. City of Joondalup, City of things.
Council gigs. Okay. Yeah.
Council gigs. Yeah, these are great spots. And you get to be exposed to like this audience that has never seen you before.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 5 minutes, 5 years, 50 years, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorites. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five other artists once we finish this conversation, who would those artists be? And if you can think of specific songs of theirs, what songs would you play?
Yeah, cool. I've got a list. Stand by. So this is not me, like, since I was born, because I cannot, for the life of me, get five artists. This is my favorite all of time.
No,
at the moment.
No, but remember, it's not favorites. It's just top of mind.
I would start with Tender Surrender by Steve Vai. Steve Vai is a glorious guitarist. And in 1995, he recorded this album called Alien Love Secrets. And he did the whole film of, he wanted like a live capture of it. There's no people, but it's like a live shot of it. And this video of Tender Surrender on YouTube, I don't know, it just drives me insane. The relationship he's got with his guitar, the sound, the solo, it just, oh, I have no words. Like I've been listening to the song for probably 3 weeks on absolute repeat, like a psychopath. So I am stuck on this song. Go and watch it. He actually didn't have a lot of money, but I've read a lot about it. So he actually didn't have the money to do a fancy recording. But then they found this friend who had this little studio and was like, man, your album's amazing. You wanted to write an album that serves guitar on a silver platter, you know. Yes, he did it really well. Alien Love Secrets, go, do it. But that song, Tender Surrender, his face, his expression, the way he plays the guitar, like he's just breathing, you know. It's just like this natural thing. So yeah, I'll spin that. I've discovered a song by John Farnham with the Little River Band called Reminiscing. This is the performance in Melbourne, I believe 1983. And it's on YouTube as well. And it's just, this song just gives me joy. The vocal execution is perfect. The tonality, it's groovy, it's simple, it's beautiful. He's performing with such an open heart and smile. And so, yeah, I've been listening to that one also on repeat like a psychopath. I usually get stuck on songs and then I got to go to the depth of it to the point where I'm like, I'm tired, I got to change. And then something else picks up. Then I'll go to Hypotheticals by Leg Street Dive. My guitarist, Leo, took me to their live show. They came touring in Australia for like a few months ago. And it was a brilliant show. They are absolute dynamite on stage. I don't know. It was perfect. Like in the gig, you could see the musicians because we were all like, oh, whoa, like for an hour. It was an amazing gig. And this song, Hypotheticals, is about love and a new blossoming relationship, which I can relate at the moment. So I love the song, love the lyrics. She's got the voice of an angel and so much soul in it, yet she's this like skinny, beautiful white woman. I just love when the voice doesn't fit with the body. It's always like, whoa, this is amazing. Like vocal cords are so great. Then I'll go to an all-time favorite, Izzy Star All Star Time. So Izzy Star All Star is best reggae band in the world. And they've done some remasters and remixes of big EPs. Like they've done this whole thing called Dub Side of the Moon, which is Dark Side of the Moon from Pink Floyd, but they've dubbed it. And an album, actually, you have to listen the whole album for the experience. I used to listen to that on cassette with my dad because we had the car with a cassette player, you know, which was the good times. And we had this song on cassette and we would spin that before going surfing in the Caribbean. And so this album connects me with my dad, who's not with us anymore. So the time, if I had to choose one time, or the great gig in the sky. Last one, five. I got that one out of the bag a few days ago. We were actually at the radio spinning some tracks that we like with the band. And this one is Lowemi, Lowemi. So it's by Savannah. And it just reminds me, Caribbean, lovely, chill, positive song. Very bright. Her vocals are fantastic and the bass just hits right. It's got to be listened on a good sound system or in your headphones, and it's just a brilliant simple song. So this is one on my spin list at the moment.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Thank you for being curious about who we are beyond our music. This still spins me out that people want to know like who we are and what we do when we're not on stage. So thank you. Stay curious. Stay curious. Keep on listening to some great tracks and go to live shows and buy merch and support local artists. It might be just $50 for you, but it can be a full tank of fuel for an artist who gets the opportunity to go to another gig, to connect with someone else. That's maybe your cousin, you know? So it's important to help people achieve the dreams because they will help you achieve yours as well. This is a virtuous cycle and we're part of it. And yeah, keep weird stuff alive.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.